Hello and welcome to another episode of the AfterBuzz podcast. My name is Nico Adjimian, your host of the AfterBuzz, and of course with me is Buzz Adams.
Whoa, I just had like the strongest sense of deja vu.
Did you?
Yeah, wow. It felt like we had just done
been
that.
Here before.
Yeah,
I mean, it's only been 233 episodes.
Is that what we're up to?
Yeah.
Wow.
Impressive now?
Yeah, I guess so.
233.
If we had, if only we had 233 listeners of the AfterBuzz.
We do. We definitely do. Wow. And the wonderful Joanna Barba.
Howdy.
Who is currently doing some social media.
Yeah, nobody leave.
What are you drinking, Celsius now?
We're all going to be drinking it.
Oh, why? Is this like a sponsoring thing?
No, it's just a funny video I thought of, all right?
All right.
Is it specific to that brand?
No.
Oh, okay.
I need an energy drink.
Is that a water?
It's an energy drink.
Oh.
Have you ever had a Celsius?
I have.
I love these.
No. Do you have an extra one?
No.
Okay.
They don't.
But you're going to get some.
Oh, in the video?
In the video, yes.
They don't hit as hard as like a Red Bull, but it's a better, it's
really?
Like, it's a gentler.
I like this better than the Red Bull.
That's what I mean, is that
Red
they give you energy.
Disgusting.
And I freaking,
Red Bull has
you
a
guys
terrible,
don't
terrible taste.
Understand my addiction to Red Bull.
Do you like the taste?
I love the taste.
I'm going to chalk it up to the taurine.
I think it's the taurine also.
I like the taurine too.
It's so
but
good.
It gives me like a really strong.
Yeah, like a head start.
Do you
right?
remember we had a guest on about 6 months ago, and it wasn't for an energy drink, but she offered us each
it
a Red Bull.
She wasn't here for the energy drink specifically, but
and
she worked for.
I told her just what I told you. That is the yes. most disgusting beverage. It tastes terrible.
And it turns out she's the rep
and
for it.
She's the rep for it.
Like for the entire region.
And I was like, I'll take a Red Bull. I love Red Bull.
They should have told me, hey, don't yeah. malign Red Bull.
And you're like, no, I don't like it.
I never have.
So I just realized today we were talking about Jim Morrison because Val Kilmer has recently passed away. We were talking about how he played Jim Morrison in the Doors movie. And I made the comment, isn't Morrison the guy that all Latinos like?
No, that's Morrissey.
It's Morrissey.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out what you were talking about.
I was trying to figure out how you messed
Morrissey.
Up or what the correlation was. But I get it now.
I was completely in the dark about what you were even talking about.
Yeah.
The Smiths do not sound like the Doors.
I was trying to figure out how you mix the two up. But
you get
now
it
that
now,
you're
though.
Saying it, Morrison, Morrissey.
Somebody in the app chat said, Pinchy Nico, you mean Morrissey? And he said, it's Cholos who love him,
yeah.
not
and Cholos
Latinos.
Love them, yeah. We relate to his melancholy ballads.
He's very sensitive.
Okay, so on today's episode of the AfterBuzz, we're going to be talking about medical experimentation.
Oh, that sounds like a really, really...
Oh, snap.
Yeah, this is going to be a...
The history of medical experimentation, I'm sure, has...
What?
5 minutes, Joanna. That's all I need for me.
Continue.
All right?
Yeah, I'm listening. Go on.
Yes, the history of medical... Well, medical
Are
experimentation...
Are we talking about,
medical
like, the Nazis or the Japanese
no.
in World War II? Because those were notoriously...
So, medical experimentation is normal. I mean, that is how we've gotten progressive medical science. But,
sure.
like... The horrific medical experimentation.
Tell me we're not going in that
We
direction.
Are going to talk about one of the experiments.
The experiments that go wrong that you get
no,
all the like the warnings from?
Well, even worse. Something that just like should not have happened to begin with.
Oh,
and I'm not talking about Dr. Mengele and the Nazis. Because those, of course, are probably the worst
or
of the
unit,
worst scientific.
Unit
or
40,
731 in Japan. This is an actual study that was done with the hopes of some science coming from it, and it was done in the United States.
Wow, how long ago?
1939.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
It's called the Monster Study because the people who did this were basically monsters.
Oh, no.
So the study was never published, okay?
So
the only way we know about this is because in the year 2001... A journalist from the San Jose Mercury News did an investigative report. His name is Jim Dyer. And he discovered these details. And he then found the former test subjects who were still living, none of them who were told that they were part of an experiment. A lawsuit took place in 2002. And seven of the test subjects were awarded $1 million by the state of Iowa for lifelong psychological and emotional scars.
I mean, I would hope that the standard today is you don't do tests on somebody without their consent.
It's absolutely the standard. Like, you do not.
But it wasn't in the 1930s.
I guess not.
All right.
We speak of Tuskegee and other things. This was a non-consensual experiment performed on 22 orphan children.
Oh, no.
In Davenport, Iowa. About stuttering.
Uh-oh.
All right. It was conducted by Wendell Johnson, with the physical experiment being performed by his graduate student, Mary Tudor. Okay.
Mary Tudor.
Yeah, right. So you would think, okay, stuttering.
That's literally Bloody Mary's name.
Mary Tudor?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was.
Oh, snap.
But you may be thinking, okay, it's about stuttering. How hard, I mean, what so wrong could be?
Yeah, what did they do?
Exactly. So.
And they were kids, right?
They were kids. So Dr. Wendell Johnson, the lead scientist, was a stutterer. And he created a thesis that he wanted to know whether stuttering begins with the child, which it means from birth,
okay,
or if it's learned, like from
a
the parents.
Behavior.
Okay. Sounds like a worthy topic for investigation.
Done at the Iowa Soldiers Orphan Home. Okay. They took 22 kids and they put them into different groups. One of some stutterers, some of non-stutterers. Okay. The non-stutterers, first of all, the stutterers were also divided into two groups. And they'd say some of the stutterers would just get normal speech therapy. And then the other ones would get positive reinforcement.
Mm-hmm.
Like they would just be told, "You're speaking fine. It's everybody around you that is hearing it wrong." Okay, whatever. Positive reinforcement.
Pretty fucked up.
No, the fucked up part is the non-stutterers.
Uh-oh.
The group of non-stutterers that they got, one group of the non-stutterers, they said, they were told, the non-stutterers, "You speak fine. You speak perfect," right?
Uh-huh.
But again, they don't stutter. This is a non-stutter group.
Uh-huh,
the right. other group of non-stutterers, they said, "You have the worst stuttering I've ever heard in my life."
And they were non-stuttering.
They gaslit them?
They gaslit.
Thinking they had a gaslit.
10 small children who did not have stutters. And they
told them they had stutters.
No, not just told them. They would negatively reinforce things like, "You sound awful. Nobody's going to want to hear you." Like, mean to them.
All right.
That's mean.
250 kids were screened before they got to the 22.
250
kids were screened before they got down to the... kids were instantly affected. The non-stutterers instantly were affected by the negative reinforcement being told.
Did they start stuttering?
They started to stutter.
What?
Not only that, they would also... Okay, they would also go mute.
Yeah. Oh, snap.
Yeah. If you got a grown-up telling you you sound stupid when you talk.
Yeah, it's going to make you want to not talk anymore.
5-year-old Norma Jean Pugh was told that it was very difficult to get her to speak, although she spoke freely months before the experiment. In another group, 9-year-old Betty Romp practically refuses to talk, held hand on arm over eyes most of the time. 15-year-old Hazel Potter, the oldest in the group, became much more conscious of herself, and she talked much less. Potter also began to interject and snap her fingers in frustration when she tried to speak.
Who's that?
One of the Hazel Potter. She's one of the oldest. All of the kids
you messed them up. It sounds like.
All of the kids in this group, schoolwork fell off.
Mm.
Okay, one of the boys began refusing to recite in class. Another 11-year-old, Clarence Pfeiffer, started anxiously correcting himself. He stopped and told me he was going to have trouble on words before he even said them.
And he did not have a stutter.
These are the ones that didn't have a stutter, but they just told them.
Because of the negative reinforcement.
Oh, my God.
6 orphans grew withdrawn and fractious. I'm not even sure what the word fractious means.
Argumentative. Difficult.
Irritable. Quarrelsome.
Yeah.
During their sessions, she was asked whether her best friend knew about her stuttering. She replied no. When asked why not, she said, "I hardly ever talk to my friend anymore."
Oh,
Oh, no.
2 years later, she ran away from the orphanage and eventually ended up in the industrial school for girls.
Sounds like the scientist and his assistant got away with it.
Absolutely.
They didn't uncover it until 2001. Were either of the people conducting the studies still alive?
No, they are dead.
Yeah. Right, so they got away with it.
But the woman who conducted it, Mary Tudor, said she was impacted by the experiment herself. 3 times after the experiment had officially ended, she went back to the orphanage, even after the thing was done, so that she could provide follow-up care. She wrote to the lead scientist saying, "I believe that in time they will recover, but we certainly made a definite impression on them."
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you fucked them up. That's an impression, right?
Yes.
She attempted to reverse the negative effects that they caused by the experiment.
Oh, no.
But in her letters, she later lamented that she was unable to provide enough positive therapy to ever
reverse the
effects.
Damn.
Oh, my God.
What did the guy find out when he talked to some of these kids, you know, all grown up now?
Well, the kids were never told they were part of an experiment. Okay.
Okay.
And Johnson never published the results, and the study was unheard of outside of those who knew him personally. But it was kind of an open secret among speech researchers. They knew about this. Those at the center called it the Monster Study, and he passed away, the lead, only 15 years later.
The monsters being the...
Johnson.
The scientists conducting the experiment.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
62 years after the experiment was performed, investigative journal reporter Jim Dye found the Monster Study tucked away in a basement.
Oh, like a dirty little secret.
At the University of Iowa.
Right.
He was horrified and began researching and reaching out to the test subjects to understand.
Have they ever made a movie about this?
I don't think they have.
That would be a cool movie.
I'm writing the script.
Yeah. Do you think this would be cool? How fucked up is that?
Yeah. Really, yeah, no, that is very...
Inflict psychological lasting damage on these small, small children.
I feel bad that I'm trying to come up with an angle to write a spec script for based on these kids suffering.
And make it a comedy. How hard would that be? It's a Porky Pig.
An origin story.
I know who to cast.
How traumatizing must it have been for any of these orphans to see a Porky Pig cartoon?
I know,
when
right?
When that came out, they were like, ah!
Well, you know the more fucked up part about it is that these kids just grew up thinking that
they were
that a stutter was just a part of their natural psychological makeup.
But like, it was.
Right.
It was given.
And it never
to them.
Was.
Did it cure any? Did anybody get cured of their stutter
through the positive reinforcement?
Yeah. No.
Well, it's as much of as any speech therapy
as,
helps.
As right.
As much as any speech therapy.
And they're like, on the upside, we discovered speech therapy
is good. And helps, yeah. On the upside, we invented speech therapy. Okay,
but being horrible to kids is not so great.
That's an argument, let's say, for the devil's advocate side of things.
Right.
If they said...
In the name of science, they're like...
If they said, we discovered a fundamental new way of providing speech therapy from this experiment.
We also fucked up 10 kids.
We also fucked up 10 kids for the rest of their lives.
Well, that is not the case, it sounds like.
That's not.
They didn't make a major breakthrough. In fact, nobody was aware of the research until 2001.
Very good.
That's right. Yeah.
So I'm dealing in facts.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's awful.
But would it be? Is there an argument to be made that would it be worth it if that was the case? Or no? That
you know, there are so many people who are against all
fruit of a poison. Wait, poison fruit. What is it called? The fruit of a poison tree, or there's a term for
adage.
It. Yeah, there's an adage about like fruit of the poison. God,
I don't know that.
Okay. You have a computer right in front of you.
That is a good point. What were you gonna say?
I forgot. Your aneurysm there made me forget my train of thought.
Yeah, fruit of the poisonous tree.
Okay.
The fruit of the poisonous tree is a legal principle stating that evidence obtained through illegal or unconstitutional means is inadmissible
all
in court.
So there are a lot of people who are against animal testing. And I totally understand why.
I get that,
too. You know, these poor innocent animals, and did you ever see the reboot of Planet of the Apes?
Right.
You know, it's just horrible. But... Scientists will tell you that a lot of the breakthroughs would not have been achievable at the time without testing on animals. So that's a great example of the poison fruit.
Well, that or the
children.
The Unit 731 out of...
They So this was really cruel. The stuff they did was just terrible. Like, I'll give you an example.
Leave your hands out and let them freeze solid.
We want to find out how long until your hands fall off.
Because
these were war crimes.
Or break them with a hammer and break your
arms. These were war crimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it didn't stop us, the United States, from using some of the findings of the research from the Imperial Japan.
And then providing amnesty for them.
Yep. So there was a whole Operation Paperclip that had to do with some of these
Japanese German scientists. Yeah. No, this is just an abject, terrible thing that this person did.
Never got published.
Never got published. Mm. There was no valuable research that necessarily came from it. There's just 10 people that grew up their entire lives thinking. One woman was mute her whole life.
For
the rest of her life, she never spoke, except she went to church. Like, she was known as being very quiet, this and that, but never spoke. God.
Yeah. No,
ruined lives.
Now, you brought up Tuskegee, so people get this wrong. So
they didn't give people syphilis.
They did not give syphilis. What they did was they took men, mostly sharecroppers, African American sharecroppers, who had syphilis. So they all already had syphilis.
They already had it.
But they thought they were getting the cure for it.
Right.
They were giving actual treatment to some of the people in the study.
Yes.
But then they had a control group. They just wanted to see. Those people didn't get anything, so they just let the syphilis progress. But they didn't inject syphilis. I mean, that doesn't make it much better.
It doesn't, because you're watching somebody.
You know, you could help them. You could get, you could give them whatever the treatment is that you're giving to the other syphilis patients. Mm-hmm. They never told these guys. Who knows how many people they passed syphilis on to.
And what's super upsetting, too, is that the men would come back for updates and annual checkups with the doctors thinking they were getting a health treatment. Really, they were just studying how much it's progressed, and they just wanted to see where is the syphilis now at this point. And it turned,
horrific enough.
That's really horrific, yeah. I mean, syphilis turns into neurosyphilis, and it makes you insane. Mm-hmm. So, syphilis makes your nose fall off.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit.
Yeah, so a lot of people in, like, the Middle Ages and stuff would have fake noses.
I think Tycho Brahe.
He's
a very famous astronomer and scientist who had a gold, the man with the silver nose or golden nose?
I think silver.
Silver nose. His nose fell off.
But
Michael Jackson, ironically, never had syphilis. He did it all to himself.
But that's one of the ways you could tell if a prostitute was syphilitic. You'd have to look. But then the women would get...
like, boop, got your nose.
Women would get fake noses to make sure that, like, they could still sell themselves and stuff. So, fun.
Veils probably became very popular.
Fun note to end the podcast on. All right, thanks for listening to the AfterBuzz podcast.
Oh, my God. Thank you for listening to this one.
Tuesdays and Thursdays. Let us know what you think. If you have any other medical experiments that you want us to talk about.
Yeah.
Also, don't forget to listen to the Buzz Adams Morning Show, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. Mountain Standard Time on KLAQ 95.5, El Paso's Best Rock. Talk to you next time.